I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
Should we kick straight off?
Let's just get straight into it.
Q&A. First question.
Straight into it.
Is Sunak right to warn about, quotes, mob rule? And that's from Olivia in Sussex.
Thanks, Olivia. Well, I guess this is a reference to Rishi Sunak warning the police to be tougher on protesters and extremists and so on, and warning that we're on the edge of mob rule. I don't think we are on the edge of mob rule, and I think it's worth teasing out what's going on here. So absolutely 100% against attacks on MPs, threats to MPs. We saw Tobias Elwood, Tory MP, had his house surrounded by protesters the other day. That's obviously not acceptable. Mike Freer, is a Tory MP, is standing down because he's had to wear a stab vest. You know, that's not acceptable. We've learned that a number of female Labour MPs have been under police protection, and Lisa Nandy carries a police alarm with her at all times. And again, not acceptable. That's all, I think, everyone agrees. That can be common ground. I don't know what you think, Matt, but I'm a bit nervous about is the sort of conflation of that with protests and marches. Right. So, you know, anyone who's listening to the pod knows that I'm, you know, bizarrely a little bit pro-Israel. However, I'm more in favour of the freedom of peaceful assembly than anything, almost anything else, totally. You know. And I, which was why I wrote during the row about, do you remember there was a row about whether the pro-Palestinian march should be allowed to go ahead on Armistice Day? And my view was 100%.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the only test of that right is whether the causes, you're okay with the causes that you might disagree with marching.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're on the verge of mob rule. What do you reckon?
Well, I mean, the first mob rule irony I'd like to point out is that this is the mob that's ruled us for the last 30 years.
Indeed, yeah,
and
very
has
good.
Destroyed
an extremely
the
good point.
Economy, yeah. And what any trust in politics.
As a Chicago Al Capone style mob.
When you're talking about mob rule, I think Sunak as capo di capo fits very nicely. But to address the points he's talking about, I think if you lived in Liverpool or Manchester or Glasgow or Sheffield, you would be forgiven for thinking that London right now was under some sort of kind of, you know, occupation. And it's not. You know, we both live
Molotov
in London.
Cocktails flying through the air. And
sort of like poll tax style riots in Trafalgar Square.
On the contrary. And, you know, I haven't been on many marches in my life, but I did go on the People's Vote marches. And, you know, and they were huge and they were very exciting. I mean, imagine if Brexiteers had said you can't carry on marching, you know. What was it James Cleverly said? You've made your point.
Yeah.
Well, who the hell are you to say you've made your point? You're the Home Secretary. You're not, you know,
the arbiter of when the point,
when
is
the point
over.
Has been made.
You're not the umpire, mate.
It's not in the portfolio of the Home Secretary to decide when points have been made.
Deuce.
Exactly. He's not like some sort of tennis referee.
Yeah.
So I
believe they're called umpires. But anyway, carry on. Sorry.
Sorry, this is all part of, listeners, this is all part of my sporting apprenticeship at the hands of the editor-in-chief and founder. It's going very well. But back to the serious stuff.
Yeah.
No, I what I do think here is this is part 156 of Rishi being desperate.
Yes.
Right, which he's trying to, as all populists in trouble do, evoke a false threat.
Yeah.
There is no mob rule in this
philosophically,
country.
Philosophically, where is the line between Sunak saying we're in danger of mob rule and Lee Anderson saying that There's no-go zones in London, and Sadiq Khan has let the city go to Islamophobes. Where do they not all feed into the same sort of fear set?
Yes, I mean, they're variants on a theme, aren't they? I mean, obviously, the Lee Anderson thing was worse because it was personal.
Mm.
But this does kind of... You're right. I mean, what it's designed to do, it's notionally addressed to the police, but actually it's addressed to the electorate, saying, you can trust me to keep the forces of disorder at bay, and I will take any measures necessary.
But also, I mean, if you take that principle, that would be a line that might work for the leader of the opposition. But Rishi, you are actually the guy in charge, leading a government that's been in charge for 13, 14 years. If there's mob rule on our streets...
Then maybe there's something wrong with the man in number 10.
Right, Olivia, I think we've answered the question. We don't think he's right to rule about mob rule. Yeah. All right.
Okay, Ofcom is once again facing questions about what they're doing to regulate GB News in particular, rightly so. But other regulators appear equally ineffectual. Ofwat is failing to bring the water companies to heel. Ofsted has problems with the way they put pressure on head teachers. What is happening to our regulators, asks Linda Gray.
I don't know whether you can lump all of those regulators into the same into the same bucket. However, the two that do seem to sit comfortably together are Ofcom and Ofwat, who seem ineffectual. I mean, I think Ofsted clearly has made missteps around the inspection of schools.
But it's not regulating a privatised industry or indeed a big commercial sector, is it?
But Ofcom is letting GB News just run rampant.
What was the figure that it's given $660,000?
Two-thirds of a million quid
Tory
MPs.
Politicians.
Someone said, you know, if Lee Anderson is making $80,000 as an MP and $100,000 as a GB News, which one is his second job?
That's a very good point.
So I think Ofcom has proved to be ineffectual. Maybe it's not Ofcom's fault and it just needs the parameters in which it can engage redrawn. But I suspect a stronger Ofcom would have started putting its foot down now. Ofwat, Fergal Sharkey.
The great Fergal Sharkey.
I mean, honestly, what an absolute man he is. You know,
he is the one-man regulator, isn't he?
He is absolutely the voice of conscience on our filthy, polluted rivers and waterways. And Ofwat, clearly, if they were doing their job, Fergal Sharkey wouldn't need to exist in that regard.
Yes, exactly so. I mean, my general view on regulators is that one of the big kind of problems that came out of the 80s and privatisation was that there was a whole sort of tranche of regulators set up to deal with the privatised industries, and they've been, as you say, Matt, varying quality, and the idea has bled into non-privatised industries like schools. And I think there's some, I mean, this isn't just in the UK. If you look at what happened in America with opioids, the FDA, the Food and Drugs Administration, was incredibly subject to group capture by the industry. And I think this happens quite a lot, that they become bureaucratized and captured by the industries that they're regulating. Now, I'm generalizing massively, and you're right, it differs from regulator to regulator. But I think that there's a lack of accountability and a lack of bite. And I always think with regulators, that there should be at least annual parliamentary scrutiny of how they're doing and whether they, you know, the rules by which they abide need updating. This is particularly true with technology. And we've just got to make sure that regulators are in fact regulating and not simply acting as a buffer between Parliament and
and
services.
Who regulates the regulators?
Who regulates the regulators?
Maybe we need an off-reg.
Off-off.
Off-off. And I'll be happy to chair it. Next question, please. Thank you, Linda. Next question, please. Does Sunak have the backbone to call out Lee Anderson and Liz Truss after their comments this week, or does he quietly welcome them? And that's some Tuffers on Spotify. I don't know if that's the great Phil Tuffers, but...
Well, one can only hope. I think it's a question. It's one of those questions that kind of contains its own answer, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, look, what Lee Anderson said was completely unacceptable. That you know, Sadiq Khan had effectively given control of London to his mates, the Islamists. I mean,
not just a dog whistle, a bloody foghorn.
Well, it's racist. It's Islamophobic. It's got the lot. So that's totally. And I was dismayed by the number of people who are not saying it was Islamophobic just on the government side, just saying it was wrong. I think Nick Ferraro in LBC kicked a minister off his show for not saying it was Islamophobic. And I think that Oliver Dowden, who's becoming a sort of symbol of the kind of vanishing uselessness of this government, on Laura Koonsberg on Sunday, said that if Lee Anderson had said he was sorry, that would have been all right. And I don't understand why that's true.
No, that's right.
The Liz Truss thing is a bit more, I guess, a bit more complicated, because her sin was to be silent. She was at the Conservative Political Action Conference in America, which is a sort of Glastonbury of the right, in Maryland. And Steve Bannon, Trump's former chief strategist, referred to Tommy Robinson, the old English Defence League guy, as a hero. And Truss didn't say anything. And again, Dowden said, well, you know, sometimes you don't hear these things, which is pathetic.
Yeah.
It's very hard, I think, to...
By the way, if you don't hear them, you can perfectly reasonably on Twitter afterwards and say, by the way, I missed that, but Tommy Robinson is a right-wing fascist thug and I want nothing to do with him. You know?
It is exactly so. I mean, the problem is that a weak leader will not discipline someone for silence. A strong leader would have said, you know, Liz Truss should have, on the spot, said to Bannon, Tommy Robinson is not a hero. Yeah. He is, as you say, a fascist thug. I think Truss is, I think we discussed her last week, and you know, she's off the reservation. But unfortunately, and there was a poll in The Guardian this week about Tory members on a variety of issues, showing that the majority of Tories are also off the reservation. And I think Sunak knows this. And the lack of backbone, it's just part of the slow and depressing and terrible decline, both of his premiership and of this 14-year-long government, I think.
You know, unless anybody, I don't suppose there are too many listeners of this podcast thinking, well done, Sunak, for, you know, withdrawing or suspending the whip. This was precisely what Sunak brought Lee Anderson into that deputy chairman role to do. Precisely. He wanted them.
Just as he brought Suella Braverman to be Home Secretary. And it was only when she finally went too far with the hate marches, remarks and all that he had to sack her.
Yeah.
But, you know, Sunak, I think there's a special place in political hell reserved for him, because he is the guy who is not a natural culture warrior, but brought in culture warriors to fight the wars that he wasn't personally equipped to do, but he knew were part of his coalition.
Yeah.
Hence the totally ridiculous obsession with small boats in Rwanda.
I remember Garry Kasparov talking about what makes a great chess player, and he said basically it's a great knowledge of strategy, but it's also the ability to think 10 or 12 moves ahead. Sunak is like a chess player playing the game, the last move. You know, he's playing the move that he's just made over and over, you know, and getting it wrong every bloody time. He can't think ahead. Anybody with any political nous would have said, hold on, what are the odds of Lee Anderson staying sane and not derailing my entire premiership within 6 weeks if I appoint him to the deputy chairman role? The odds are massive.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could go wrong?
But I think to that point, what's interesting is that this is being broadcast the Sunday before a budget, a make or break budget for a Conservative government that's facing annihilation. Now, the Conservative Party used to be the party of the economy, of finance and all the rest of it. But the run-up to the budget has been totally eclipsed by culture wars.
Yeah.
You know, the Tory party has become an identity and culture party.
Yeah.
It's not an economic competence party. So one of the biggest changes in our lifetimes. It's a very big moment.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And, you know, my God, it's going to be something to behold as it unfolds. We can only be hopeful that it's not going to be as bad as I think we possibly fear.
Yes, I mean, I'm afraid, you know, hope versus experience, really.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Toughers from Spotify. And by the way, if you want to ask questions, you can email them to twomats@tnepublishing.com, or you can even more easily just type in your question or feedback into Spotify, if that's where you're listening to this podcast. This podcast is brought to you, as ever, by the New European Newspaper. And I hope you know what the New European is by now, but you may not subscribe. And I just want to say, please do, because it's the best way to support our independent journalism. And this week, I have a superb offer for you. which is a free signed hardback copy of James O'Brien's brilliant book, How They Broke Britain. Have you read How They Broke Britain?
I have, and I think it's terrific.
It, honestly, it's magnificent journalism,
well,
isn't it?
I can't recommend it highly enough.
And it'll make you
angry and think,
all of those good things. And we've got plenty of signed copies by the man himself, James O'Brien. And you can get a free copy of James O'Brien's book when you subscribe for just a little bit more than £1 a week. And you can go to theneweuropean.co.uk/2Matts to take that great offer up. Please do.
Brilliant.
And there's a link in the show notes.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Next question, or shall I say thesis, from Paul Meitner. Thank you, Paul. Here's the long question. Bear with us. There's no real alternative to increasing taxation. This should be focused on the wealthiest 5% of taxpayers with a shift to capital rather than income taxation. This also avoids the risk that middle earners are scared into voting against progressive-leaning parties. Here are some options. Are there any that you prefer? So these are Paul's three options for a new tax regime, presumably for Keir Starmer to implement when he comes into power, if he comes into power. Number one, create two new council tax bans. People in properties worth £2 million would pay more. Number two, tax capital gains at people's marginal rates of tax, so 45% for the highest earners, rather than the flat 20% as is currently the case. And number three, reduce the inheritance tax reliefs. So, very interesting. I mean, I would instantly say, well, why not all three? But anyway, you know.
Well, they're all three have cases for them. And the good thing, and thank you, Paul, is that, you know, it's good to be getting into some specifics on this general principle, because as we know, Labour has said it won't introduce wealth taxes. And I hope very much that it breaks that promise if and when it gets into power. To your point, Matt, I think all three have merit. I mean, reducing inheritance tax reliefs is the sort of thing that a government can change at any one time. But the money actually you raise on inheritance taxes isn't huge. So that's part of it, but it's not the big one. One and two are much more interesting. I think we've agreed before that capital gains should be taxed at the same levels as income, and I think that's why should ownership be privileged over.
So let me ask the idiot question, which is why is there such a huge gulf between taxation on capital gains
and
income tax?
For the reason you'd expect, which is that, and in a way, it's a Marxist answer, which is that we do live in a capitalist society. And although liberal democracy has grown up to ameliorate the effects of capitalism, you know, organized labor has been seriously tamed in the last, what, 40 or 50 years, and capital has come out on top. And there is an ingrained view in the fiscal system we have that capital gain should not be taxed at the same level as income. But actually, that becomes harder and harder to defend. On the first one of creating new council tax bands, which is sometimes called a mansion tax, this is obviously a very good way of raising money, particularly with so many properties worth a lot. The problem that's often mentioned, and it's a fair one, is what do you do with someone who's retired, sitting on with a very modest income, but sitting on a £3 million property?
Yeah.
And the sensible answer to that is, rather than force them to sell the property, you defer the payments until their death or they have a windfall or whatever. And what we're starting to see is this, as this issue is talked about more and more, and, you know, by more and more people who are experts, which I certainly am not, is there are workarounds to all the objections. And I think that in the next few years, I hope there'll be more and more questions and answers like this, because actually there is a way to get from A to B.
Yes.
And to raise many, many, many billions for our public services,
yes,
which we need, and for climate investment and for social care and so on.
Yeah.
You know, we need that money. We have to get it somehow. We need to find a way of crossing this bridge. And so thanks, Paul, for...
Thank you for opening that up.
Prodding us in, you know, yeah, right, but we will continue with this.
And we should get someone who actually knows what they're talking
about. We really need an expert, yeah, don't we, to talk
I mean,
to
I them. Heard on the radio that one of the issues around capital gains was that, I think it was the Labour Party under Blair and Brown, had reduced the number of years you need as a private equity investor from 10 years to 2 years before you could take advantage of these very low tax rates.
Yeah.
And that was to all, you know,
to pull people in, yeah.
To pull people in and promote investment, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, that doesn't have to be fixed in stone. You can go backwards and say, okay, the salad days are over. We're now going to have to take some of your billions away to pay for basic care.
Yeah, we keep making this point, but we have to get away from this idea that the end of it, I mean, we did not reach the end of history at the end of the 20th century. It is time to begin the 21st.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah. The thing that grates with me is that there are people who invest money and work with people to create new wealth.
Right? Real entrepreneurs, yeah.
Real entrepreneurs. And then there are people who've just got loads of money who happen to invest it and spread it around.
Yeah.
And other entrepreneurs then make them loads of money, and they're not actually contributing anything apart from the money. And I think you should treat those two kind of case studies in a different manner.
They are very different. And although it's very difficult to separate them in law.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting question.
Okay, Paul, thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Next question, please.
You should get you should get Richard Murphy on the show about taxing wealth. He's identified £80 billion of possible reforms. Marty Fee on Spotify. Well, there's not really an answer to that. I think we've just given it, isn't it?
Yeah,
But we will.
Good suggestion. Richard, if you're listening, give us a shout.
Richard, you know where to find us.
Next question, please. Oh, my word. Ray from Ladbroke Grove. If you had to go to the pub with Tucker Carlson or George Galloway, who would you choose?
So what, it's cholera or bubonic plague, is it? I always tell the truth on the two mats and elsewhere. It would be Tucker.
Yeah.
Because, and I think it would be Tucker with you, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And here's why. Okay, so I was this is the things I do for this podcast. I was listening to the 3 hour long conversation between Lex Friedman and Tucker Carlson, the podcast. Now that is above and beyond.
That's heroic.
But actually, Tucker is very funny,
yeah,
right? He's mad, he's wrong, he's possibly Lord Hoare in sort of support for Putin, but he's very funny. And you can imagine taking him to the Railway Tavern in Catford and him not actually getting into a fight, buying drinks for the punters, amusing them with his stories of Trump and, you know, and generally being charming and self-doubt. And he has he does take the piss out of himself,
yes,
very much so. Whereas Galloway,
he's fairly humorless about himself.
Fairly, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, and you can imagine him saluting the indefatigable landlord. I just think there's something about Galloway that is, I'm haunted by that image of him in the Big Brother house wearing
that was his peak, wasn't
it? The red leotard.
With the cat.
With the cat
outfit, yeah.
But even then, you know, not not having a sense of humour. And actually, it's an interesting question because, I mean, Galloway is not really a progressive, is he? I mean, he's a Stalinist, I suppose. But we've addressed this before, which is, what do we do about these funny right wingers?
Yeah.
I mean, they are funny.
That is their gifted advantage.
That is their gift, yeah, you know. Yeah. And there are very few progressive politicians who have that sort of. There have been. Kennedy was funny.
Yeah.
Obama was funny. You know,
but funny left wingers tend to not go into politics.
That's true. Exactly. Whereas, yeah.
I don't know. There are let's describe them as charismatic rather than funny, because
yes,
you know, you could throw Boris Johnson into that pile, you know, an intensely charismatic
yes
person who wins people over face to face, but will completely demolish a nation in the time it takes to have breakfast. You know, it's.
By the way, as we discussed last week, the Tucker Carlson versus Boris Johnson feud carries on.
Does it?
So if people who are interested in the Lex Friedman podcast, Tucker really hammers Boris hard and says, you know, I don't know how this guy can pretend to be anti-Russian with a name like Boris, you know. And it's a very, very, he said he was Prime Minister of Britain briefly. You know,
yeah.
Well, so that's a great. I mean, so the answer is, if the two of them knocked on my door in Southeast London and said, you know, we want to go to the pub.
Which pub would you take them to?
I'd take them to the Railway Tavern by Catford Bridge Station.
Railway Tavern.
You know, where there's a, you know, it used to
be. I would take them there as well, only because that's nowhere near where I live.
No, it used to be a pub where you could sort of reliably go to get beaten up at the end of the Great British Night Out, and it's a bit more civilized now.
I'd like to take them to that pub in Kilburn in Widnail and I.
Perfume Ponce. Actually, Tucker Carlson would get called a perfume Ponce, wouldn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Right.
I'll murder the pair of yous. That's enough of Widnall and I.
Well, I think that's probably
enough. I think that's it.
That's enough of everything.
That's enough of everything, really, isn't it?
It is indeed. Thank you very much for bearing with us. I hope you enjoyed our brief Sunday Q&A. And join us next Friday for our regular podcast,
regular
please.
Podcast. Looking forward to it.
Have a great day.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Getting caught in the wrong shoes can interrupt your plans for the day. Like when that 10% chance of rain ends up looking more like 100%. When the transition to fall and winter feels more like experiencing every season on the same day, there's the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for misty morning walks, surprise snow days, and anything a trip to the dog park might bring. The whole collection brings together water-repellent technology and classic style, so you can stay warm, dry, and comfy during your everyday adventures. Cross off errands with the splash protection on the Wool Runner Mizzle. Dash through cold and wet weather with all-condition traction and reflective details on the Wool Dasher Mizzle. or upgrade to next-level protection with the MudGuard on the Wool Runner-Up Mizzle Plus. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.